If you ever wondered why America is slow to protect the environment compared to Europe, you might consider how we educate our children. Play is a serious business of childhood, as Swiss developmental psychologist Jean Piaget famously declared. And at about the age of 3, kids begin noticing how their play interacts with the environment around them. Starting preschool at 3 is a predictor of success as an adult, and some say a predictor of lifetime environmental awareness if it includes plenty of structured play outside, an approach more popular in Europe. But it also has believers here in the U.S., and Living on Earth's Bobby Bascom takes us now to a nature preschool in Wintry, New Hampshire.
Parents gripping cups of hot tea and coffee drop their kids off at preschool on a cold, sunny morning in Chester, New Hampshire. The toddlers, wearing brightly colored snowsuits and woolly hats, waddle towards a big log next to a pile of sand. A few pots and pans and lots of imagination make that fallen tree a kitchen and the sand pretend food.
But it was you.
The kids run around, dig in the sand, and play kitchen until their teacher, Sarah Drown Surrett, lets them know it's time to get started with school. Sarah's kindergarten group are the Great Horned Owls. She hoots to get their attention, and they respond.
Does everybody have their snow gear on?
Yeah.
Mittens?
Yeah.
Hats?
Yeah.
All right, we're ready.
Ready to head out into the 8 acres of forest and field that are the Chesterbrook School of Natural Learning. Sarah taught first grade in a traditional public school for 13 years, but for her oldest daughter, Olive, she wanted a different experience. So she started a nature-based preschool for her toddler and one other child. 2 years later, she has 36 students enrolled in 3 different classes and a long waiting list. Sarah and her 7 kindergartners hike to a sunny spot in a field for their morning meeting. The kids take off their backpacks, sit in a circle, and listen to Sarah.
This morning, I looked up. And right over there into the field, I saw 2 giant creatures that had 4 legs. They were brown, and they were running.
She puts her thumbs to her temples and spreads her fingers wide.
And one of the creatures had these big things on top of its head. Do you want to take a guess at what?
Deer.
Olive? Deer. Now, I saw 2 of them. One had antlers on top of its head, one didn't. So what's the one with the antlers on its head called?
Buck.
A buck. It's the dad, that's right. And then the other one didn't. Do you remember?
Doe,
yeah.
Then, Sarah helps the kids read a message she wrote on a whiteboard about what they'll be doing today.
Good
morning.
Today is
Tuesday.
Oh, you. We're doing what good readers do. You looked at that beginning letter. She saw a T. She thought it was Tuesday. We have another day of the week that starts with a TH. And TH makes this sound.
Thursday.
Today is Thursday. Good job observing those letters.
After reading together, there's a short math lesson and discussion about the difference between wild and tame animals.
All right, my friends, I think we're sitting long enough. Why don't we hike out to the forest, okay?
The kids run towards the forest and tell me the best way to go.
So follow us, don't go under the big tree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Down a path in the woods at a clearing, there's a huge fallen tree. They take turns crawling up and over it.
Yeah, so this is where they'll work a lot on their gross motor. You'll see them with cooperative learning.
Hey, Mason, do you want to do the log with us? Do you want to sweet log with us? Mason,
come on.
These children are outside, snow, rain, or shine, every day through the long New England winter, unless it's so windy that falling branches and debris are a concern. They dress in warm layers, but 5-year-old Phoebe says there's another way they stay warm.
We climb trees and climb stuff, and we walk around to get our bodies warmer.
Further on, they stop at a frozen puddle to slide around on the ice.
Do I see really hot ice? We like to skate on it.
Sarah says they collected chunks of ice like this to build with. In fall, they harvested grapes to make jelly, and in early spring, they'll learn how to make maple syrup. After a couple of hours, it's time to hike back to the classroom for a snack the kids prepare for themselves, followed by more math and letter flashcards, then lunch, meditation, and yoga. Finally, back out to the forest for the afternoon before parents come to pick them up. Erin Terry is mom to 3-year-old Olivia. She says at first she was hesitant about her daughter being outside every day.
Because I thought inside is safer, there's ticks outside, it could be dangerous in the forest, they could get lost, things like that. And then once she started coming here, I just noticed how much she was growing, educationally and socially.
Kristen McGrew has 2 kids enrolled here. She was a public elementary school teacher for 15 years.
Personally, I wish that every student that I've ever had or will ever come across would have an opportunity like this. It's not something that every child is able to have, especially in the inner city schools that I was teaching in.
Nature-based preschools have been popular in Europe for decades, especially in Germany and Scandinavia. They're a relatively new idea in the U.S., but are becoming more common. A recent survey found there are more than 250 nature-based preschools across the U.S., 2/3 more than last year. Advocate Richard Liu says that growth is good news for kids.
There is a new body of evidence out there that really shows a connection, at least, between spending more time in nature and being healthier, happier, or maybe even smarter.
Richard Liu has written 9 books about children and nature and co-founded the Children and Nature Network. In his book, Last Child in the Woods, Liu coined the term nature deficit disorder. It's not an actual medical diagnosis, but he points out that the last decade or two in which children spend less time outside coincides with a rise in childhood obesity. Liu says simply sitting in a classroom all day can be a problem for kids.
Just about everybody now knows that sitting is the new smoking. It produces many of the same diseases or symptoms as cigarettes. And so many people have standing desks and all of that. And yet our kids are still sitting in the schoolroom, aren't they? And they were cutting recess. And this goes against decades of research that show that physical activity stimulates cognitive functioning. It improves physical health. It makes better students. And yet we're ignoring that research.
Liu worries that kids learn about weather events like hurricanes and climate change in school and can see nature as threatening instead of welcoming. He says it's important for kids to develop a personal relationship with nature while they're young.
It's very hard to protect something if you don't learn to love it. It's impossible to learn to love it if you've never experienced it.
It's that personal relationship that Sarah's students at the Nature School are working on and singing about.
It's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's
of course, preschools like this aren't necessarily an option for most kids, but there are things parents can do with their children to foster a love of nature. Read a book outside, turn over rocks and see what's living there. Richard Liu suggests a belly hike. Get down on your belly in the backyard and have a close look at all that lives between the blades of grass. All things to give children a sense of the diversity of the world and their place in it.
Hello, world. My old friend. It's another day.
For Living on Earth, I'm Bobby Bascom in Chester, New Hampshire.
The sun is up.
The sun is up.
And